Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, help us to be masters of ourselves, that we might be the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. So I'm going to say something now which is perhaps the biggest understatement ever. But stick with me, because we're going to go somewhere with it. Here it is. Easter Sunday is a big deal. Okay, amen? Amen. All right, you are all awake. Excellent. All right. Jesus rises from the dead. As Pastor Sean shared with us last week, that is ridiculous. But as Christians, especially if you were raised in the church, you kind of get used to it. We have Easter Sunday. Ta-da! Jesus wins! And then we tend to go on with our lives, hopefully trying to be the men and women that Jesus would have us be. But as we see in our story today, as well as other passages of Scripture, Jesus didn't just move on right away. The disciples needed time. They needed time to process what had happened, to celebrate with Jesus that he had risen, and also to plan what it meant to be his disciples from that point forward. The disciples needed time to figure out what it means to follow him. And so do we. That is why we are talking over these few weeks about following Christ, about what it means to walk in his footsteps, to do the things that he taught us to do. See, after the resurrection, Jesus needed to help his disciples figure that out. And that's why we are reminded that Easter is not just a day. Easter is actually a season. If you have ever noticed or ever wondered, even after Easter Sunday, we keep up our white banners along the walls here in the sanctuary. We continue to wear white to celebrate the risen Christ. The season of Easter actually lasts 50 days. It goes from Easter until Pentecost Sunday, which anybody who has ever had a background in Greek or Latin can figure out pretty quick. Pentecost is based on the number 50, that it has been 50 days. We also have what we call our paschal candle. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed, sometimes this gets moved around. And some days it is lit, and others it is not. Again, paschal comes from the Greek for sacrificial lamb. It is our paschal candle representing Christ's presence. If you've ever never taken a look at it, come on up after the service and look more closely. It has the lamb on the candle, as well as a cross and an Easter lily, again symbolizing that Easter season. And it is lit on high holy days and all of the 50 days of Easter. So you'll see it lit again in the coming Sundays. So just like Jesus used this time after Easter to teach his disciples, we're going to use this season of Easter as to do the same thing. To spend some time with Christ and figure out what it means to follow him. And in the passage that Sean just read for us, Jesus gives us the first and best answer to that question. Because Peter is asking the same questions that we do. Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me, Simon Peter? Then take care of my people." At the end of the day, that's what it means to follow him. Do what he says. Love his people. If Jesus means anything to you, then you should care about the things that he cared about. And so he asked Peter that simple question three times. Now, why would he ask three times? Well, if you may recall, during our Holy Week lessons, Peter denied even knowing Jesus three times. So Jesus, in his subtle way, wants to let Peter know he is fully aware of that. I can't imagine the guilt and shame that Peter felt at that moment. We have all heard those immortal words from our parents at one time or another. I'm not angry with you. I'm just disappointed. I tell you, I would rather disappoint my mom 10 times than disappoint Jesus once. But while Peter knows all too well he let Jesus down, Jesus also makes it perfectly clear what he can do to move forward. Do you love me? If you do, take care of my people. And then Jesus gives Peter that final instruction, which you almost miss if you read the story too quickly. He says at the end of their exchange, follow me. Follow me. There is some profound wisdom there that I don't want us to miss this morning. Does Jesus say, serve me? No, though we do. Does he even say, worship me? No, though it is right for us to do that as well. He says, follow me. Walk in my footsteps. Do what I have done. When Jesus ascends to heaven, he will give the great commandment to the crowd, and dozens will see him go up into the air after he has commanded them to go forth and baptize all nations, teaching everything that he has shared with them. But for that quiet moment with Peter, as they are walking along a beach in the morning, that one-on-one time that we all can have when we're in prayer with God, Jesus just says, follow me. Is that easy? No. I would never suggest that following Christ is easy. As I have said many times, if you think being a Christian is easy, you're doing it wrong. But is it simple? Yes. At the end of the day, when it gets right down to it, Christ's command is pretty simple. Do you love him? Feed his sheep. Does he mean anything to you? Then take care of the people that he cared about. So if we're trying to follow him, if we're trying to focus on being the best disciples that we can be, we need to ask ourselves a tough question this morning. When was the last time you fed his sheep? Has it been days? Weeks or even months since you gave any time or treasure to what it is that matters to Jesus? When was the last time you cared for his people? When I first decided to go into the ministry, I got a lot of advice, some welcome, some not. But some of the most welcome advice I got was from James Thomas, who was the pastor at my home church back in Michigan. And he said this to me, never forget that a church is not a resort for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Never forget that a church is not a resort for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. My friends, if we are going to follow in his footsteps, we have a lot of work to do. And if it's been a while, since you have given some time, since you have fed some of Christ's sheep, there are lots of ways that you can do that. You can stay after our service today and help with our Impact Project. We'll be in the fellowship hall about noon making some blankets for the Linus Project. That is a group of folks who give blankets to children in hospitals that not only need something to hold on to, but need a reminder that there are people that care for them. You could gather at our outreach center at 1 o'clock this afternoon and sort clothing for ShareHouse. Or you could come to the giveaway tomorrow night also at the outreach center. And if you can, I would encourage you to go to the giveaway, because then you are not only giving of your time, you get to meet some of the people that we are helping, meet some of the people that Christ cares about. You could volunteer for Vacation Bible School. You could support our youth mission trip. The ladies of our church are collecting the ingredients for health kits for their giving tree, so we can put together those kits that go to disaster victims. You can even come help out next Friday night and fry some fish, as the Methodist men have their next fish fry to raise money for their scholarships. And if none of those opportunities seem interesting to you or something that you might want to do, challenge accepted. Come meet with me or meet with Pastor Sean. We would be glad to talk with you about what God is calling you to do and where it is that you might best serve. Because if you love him, you feed his sheep. That is the bottom line in Jesus' conversation with Peter, and that is the bottom line in his conversation with you and me this morning. But that talk that Jesus and Peter are having is not quite finished. And I want to reread a couple of the verses that Sean read for us. After they had had this debate about feeding the sheep, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus said to Peter, "If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is it to you? Follow me." I love that exchange. Because let's be honest, Peter has just gotten spanked, right? Jesus has reminded him of his disappointment in him, and he told Peter what he must do for his ministry. But then Peter starts to whine. I want you to channel your inner three-year-old with me this morning. As Peter says, but Jesus, what about him? John was naughty too. He pushed me first. And how does Jesus respond? Keep your eyes on your own paper. Mind your own business, Simon Peter. See, Jesus used middle names too. My friends, it might not seem like it, but this is good news for us. Why? Because Jesus did not compare disciples. Peter and John were not in a competition to see who could be the best Christian. And neither are we. You may think the person sitting next to you is the most Christ-like man or woman you have ever seen. And you feel bad because you're not as good as they are. That's not the point. It might be human nature to compare ourselves to others, but it is not God's nature to compare us to others. And just in case you've wondered, clergy do the same thing. It's actually probably worse. One of the things I strongly dislike about our district clergy meetings is the talking that goes on during the coffee hour before the program actually begins. As Sean has discovered, that's why we are usually late to the coffee hour. Conversations tend to go something like this. Pastor A and Pastor B will be chatting. And Pastor A will say, "Well, we had 300 people at our Easter service." And Pastor B will respond, "Oh, that's lovely. We also had 300 people at our early service and another 200 at our later service." So Pastor A will respond, "Wow, when we had our bake sale last week, we made $1,000. Pastor B will take a moment and say, "Well, we made $5,000 at our bake sale." Pretty soon, Pastor C, who's been standing over here just eavesdropping, pokes his nose into the conversation and says, "Our bake sale was so successful, we sold the kitchen." My friends, that is not God's work. We are not in competition with anyone but ourselves. I feel fairly confident that Jesus probably said to Peter, "Don't you worry about John. You do the best that you can." And that goes for all of us gathered here. The only person that you need to be better than is you yesterday. The only person that you need to be better than is you yesterday. And Jesus told us how to do that. Do you love him? Feed his sheep. Do you care about him? Then care for his people. Now, is that easy? No. But it is pretty simple. And so I will ask you that question that Jesus asks all of us. Do you love him? The answer this week is up to you. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we are humbled this morning by your calling on our lives, the chance that we have to respond using our gifts, our time, our talents, our treasures to care for the people that you care for. Lord, show us who they are this week. Tap us on the shoulder that we might know who is in need and we can share your grace and your mercy with them. On our own, that might seem a little scary, but with the courage that your Son gives us, we can truly feed and love all of your sheep and become the men and women and church that you would have us be. We ask these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen.